Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
When I was a boy, I had a hero. He was a great warrior. Great athlete. Strong. Always won. Top of his sport. If you can call it a sport. For this man was this guy. Hulk Hogan. I mean, if you don't know him, you haven't lived. All right? This guy is a champion, an absolute champion. He was the leader or the main man of WWF Wrestling, World Wrestling Federation. If you grew up in the 80s, you know all about this man. A hero to many. But he had some huge battles. This guy had some great battles, and his main battle was against this guy. King Kong Bundy, massive unit of a man. Look at him. He'd eat your face, I reckon. He's crazy. And these guys had huge battles, massive battles. They had one battle, I think it was in about 1985 or something, in the cage. All right. I mean, forget Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. I mean, this was the battle. All right. This is the big battle when they just went at it in the cage. And as a boy, we used to play this, me and my brothers, all right? I was always Hulk Hogan, all right? Fighting for the goodies, all right? And my brother, who was 8 years older than me, was King Kong Bundy, all right? And he used to let me jump on him and everything. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, I was representing everything good. And Chris, as King Kong Bundy, he's now a pastor, believe it or not, as well. He was representing everything bad, evil. Now, it was warfare, true warfare. It was a battle. And as a church, we're in a battle. It's a spiritual battle. And I hope and I think most of you, as we've read through Ephesians or Rod's talked to us and I've spoken, we've learnt, haven't we, that the church is in a battle. It's a spiritual battle against the powers and principalities of this world. We've had a week off on Ephesians. We're picking it up again. And I remember in the first couple of weeks, Rod taught us that we often misread Ephesians. We read it and we sort of go, this bit's about predestination, this bit's about marriage, and there's a bit of spiritual warfare whacked on the end. And it's sort of like Paul's written this as a systematic book. But that's not the case. It's a narrative which has a overarching main point through it, and that is the victory of God in Christ over the powers and principalities of this world. And as a church, we're a testament to that victory here at Deep Creek. Actually, Paul even spells it out, and we're going to come to this later on in the book. He says this: our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. And we've sort of been using this book as a guide. I suppose you could call it a commentary on Ephesians by a guide called Timothy Gombas. It's a good read. And in it, he speaks about the church. He gives it he gives the church a title, and the title is a divine warrior. The church is a divine warrior. That is, that Jesus is the head of the church. We're empowered by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, united through him in our faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ to engage in spiritual warfare as divine warriors. It's an interesting title, isn't it? Divine warriors. Because when I think of divine warriors, when I think of warriors, I think of this man, back onto Hulk. He's the man. He engages in battles, takes out the baddies, and he struts around after he's defeated his enemies, flexing his biceps, pointing his finger in victory. He tells everybody about it. The Hulk has won again. Always winning and making sure everybody knows it. However, is that our role? Is that our role as the divine warrior? We agree that we're in spiritual warfare. What does that mean? What does it actually mean to participate in it? I think that we would all agree. What does it mean that we're in a battle? How do we actually go about it? I know does it mean that Rod and I need to rip off our shirts like that and walk around pointing our finger? I know I want to. Rod's telling me I can't. But is that what we're supposed to do? I don't know. Maybe we need to be a little bit more adventurous and start praying against spiritual entities in high places. Is that what we need to do? What is our role in this church, in this spiritual battle? How do we participate in it? Well, Paul tells us, he says this, verse 15, be very careful then how you live. See, the battle is fought over how we live. Gombas, in his book, writes this, cosmic conflict does not involve defiant chest-thumping in the face of the defeated powers. It's not like a Hulk Hogan. On the contrary, we are called to be purposeful, humble, cruciform faithfulness as we perform Jesus for the good of the world. The church should be a place where people encounter Jesus Christ. And as you encounter Jesus, for those who follow him, it brings healing, transformation to a decaying, broken, sinful, dark world. And he softens the hearts of people. And he convicts them of their sin. And he brings them into his glorious light to live hidden in him as a child of the living God. That's what he does. And just as Jesus, while on earth here, was up against demonic forces, Satan, tempted by Satan, we as the church are in that sort of battle as well. The assaults keep coming. These same powers and principalities are determined to keep people in darkness, away from the true life, away from freedom in Jesus Christ. And Satan and his henchmen want people to walk in darkness. This week, I attended a funeral of a good mate of mine who I've known for nearly 25 years. In Geelong, he took his own life, and I was down there in Geelong on Friday, up the back with some men that I hadn't rubbed shoulders with for years. And, man, the brokenness, the pain and the darkness that hung over some of my mates as well in their lives. I mean, some of them divorced and broke. I mean, this just stuff happens. And the darkness that hung over this family who'd lost a dad and a brother and a husband and a mate. And it's Satan that wants us to walk and sit in that darkness. And he hates people and he wants to trap them. He hates us, he hates you. But this is not the call of Jesus. Now we are, as you'll see in verse 8 of your Bibles, if you've got it open, in verse 8, we are to be followers of the light and live in the light. We are to resist living in the darkness. Paul says, for you were once darkness. Not even that you lived in it. You were once darkness. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Total depravity, dark, helpless without Jesus Christ. We were once in darkness. I remember another story of when I was a boy. And we used to we had some friends here in Melbourne, and we used to travel from Geelong and like to the other side of Melbourne. It was like pack your lunch, get the compass. It's a long trip for a 5, 6, 7-year-old kid. Right on the other side of Melbourne, it's actually, I found out the other day, it was Donvale. They lived in Donvale, all right? Just here. I don't think the Eastern Freeway was even out there, and this was still a lot of country places. And anyway, I remember getting out, and they had a beautiful house. And so often when we'd come, because it was such a long trip, we would stay overnight. And I remember I was sent to bed right at 7:30 or whatever, and I was lying in bed, and it was in the dark, and I was in the top bunk, so I was up off the ground. And it was dark, and I heard this noise outside the room. It was like, and like, I don't know if you've been scared, but I was getting scared. But yeah, who's there? I heard nothing. Now, as a boy, all right, the first movie I went to was E.T. with my dad. Right? And I was petrified of E.T. Actually, I thought he lived in my cupboard. And I was, so Dad had to come every night and open up the door, like he's not there, James. You know, so scared. Anyway, I heard this noise. That, who is it? Nothing. And I'm in the dark. And then coming around the corner, breathing like that. I'm out comes this arm. Yeti, phone home. I'm there in the dark. I knew you were real. This. And I'm in the dark. I didn't know reality. I didn't know what was going on. And as funny as the story is, when we're in the darkness, we don't know reality. We're blinded to it. We don't really know what's going on. And so a huge part of spiritual warfare is resisting living in darkness. And Paul, in this chapter, he lists these moral attributes, I suppose you could call them, of what it is when you're living in darkness. I'm just going to list a few of them off. Sexual immorality, impurity, greed, obscenities, foolish talk, coarse jokes, unwise behavior, drunkenness, debauchery. I mean, they're just a strong list, isn't it? Why does he list them? Well, he lists them for two reasons. Verse 3, because these are improper for God's holy people to be involved in this stuff. And a person who's involved in verse 5 will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's a huge call. Paul says those who continue in this list of things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Have a look at them. How are you traveling? How are you going with these? For some of us, these are real battles. I know for me, some of these are real battles. Battles that we sometimes think we can't defeat. And the truth is we actually can't. So what's the Holy Spirit saying into your heart as you look at that and you think, the people who continue in this behavior will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you need to repent to the Almighty God for the ongoing behavior? Maybe in these areas. Let me just pick on a few. I'm going to pick, sexual immorality. It's at the top of the list. Every bloke sitting there going, I hope he doesn't talk about this. I'm going to. All right. Are you seeking out other sexual relationships? I don't care if it's a magazine, a video, a DVD, a computer screen. You're fantasizing about someone else. It just goes too far. Are you doing that outside of your marriage? Are you sleeping with your boyfriend or your girlfriend? Are you doing that side out of God's good plan for a husband and a wife? What about greed? That's another. How are you going with the almighty dollar? I mean, how much do you give to this church? Are you bullying your partner with money and controlling it? Not letting them have any of it. Blokes are usually good at that. What about, have you just got this uncontrollable addiction to spend because it makes you feel better? So that's what you do. You go up to Shoppo or up to Doncaster and shop when you feel bad. Are these things gripped you? What about coarse jokes? What comedy do we watch? This stuff is just as confronting to me, if not more, as a pastor who teaches on it than it is probably for you guys. What comedy do I watch and laugh at and indulge in? See, if you're stuck and you feel trapped in this darkness, if you're a slave to it, some of you can't see a way out. We need to repent. And I'm picking on the men a little bit today. Because men, we need to grow up as men of Jesus. Grow up. Grow up. Get rid of this stuff. Repent. Repent. Grow up and be men of Jesus. And if you do have trouble with this stuff, there is a way out. It's not hopeless. It's not hopeless at all. I'm going to talk more about that in a minute, but it's not hopeless because Paul says that we need to be filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, God. We need to be filled with God. We can't do it ourselves. We're in darkness. We need the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit. Now today, God's Spirit may be talking to you. You know you maybe need to change. You know the battle's on. Battle's on corporately and the battle's on individually. And I understand. I understand if you're in this battle. I really do, because I've been in them. I've been in these battles. And you feel like the powers of darkness have you snookered. Now you need to come to repentance in Jesus. For the same hands who act out this stuff of darkness will soon join together and take this meal, remembering the victory of Jesus Christ in his death and his resurrection, and look forward to his return. We need to repent. And we're the body of Christ. We're a family, and we go about this as a team. You're not an island. As much as society will tell you that you're your own boss, you're not. You're part of a family. Go to someone who you trust, who you can pray with, who you can talk to about. I know after every service we have people up here who you can pray with. We have a chain, if you like, of you don't want to share your sin, but if you've got stuff you need to pray for, a chain that gets activated and a prayer circle gets activated here in the church, and people pray for things that are going on. You're not on your own. I've had heaps of help in this area. Heaps. And so I'm happy to talk to you. It's not me. Talk to someone. I've got a mate I've known for a while, not all that long, and he shared with me how he's been struggling with some of this darkness, and he has been set free only a few months ago. And he struggled his whole life with this. And the temptations, he said, they still keep coming to him. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus has done the job. I'll talk more about this in a minute. But when we're in darkness, we can't see what's going on. And this is a little bit what happened to me when E.T. came into my room. Right? It's dark. I can't actually see what was going on. I'm breathing, all right? The heart rate's up. I'm probably 5 and my heart rate's at like 200 beats a minute or whatever. It's going crazy. E.T. And I just managed to get up enough. Mom! And at that time, my brother jumped on me, flicked on the light. King Kong Bundy, all right? He it's Chris. He goes, Jimbo, it's only me. It's only me. All right? I've got deep wounds from this. But scary. Oh, man, for a little boy, anyway, in the dark. And it wasn't until the light was shined on that I could see the reality of the situation. And so as a church, we're called to live in the light. Paul talks about it. He says, live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. It's interesting, isn't it? Paul lists this stuff of what it is to live in darkness. And the point is, we can't just sit on our hands and go, I'll just resist it. Although that's the calling, resist living in darkness. That's spiritual warfare. Resist these things. Every time you resist it, you're winning. You're in the winning team. However, he doesn't say just sit on your hands, because when you sit on your hands, you don't do anything about it. Guess what? You're not growing and you are fodder. You're just going to get smashed again. You need to be active. And so Paul, in this next part of the passage, he just talks about what you've got to do, the active things you've got to do. This is the battle. You've got to do goodness. You've got to be filled with righteousness. You've got to be wise. You've got to be filled with the Spirit. I've talked a little bit about that. You've got to sing praises to God, and you've got to give thanks to God. Now, these moral behaviours that come with living in the light are essential for us to be living in, living out the victory of God. This is what it means to take part in spiritual warfare, for we are the body of Christ. And as a family, we're united in faith and knowledge of Jesus, to be a testament to the powers and the principalities of God's victory in Jesus Christ. And we need to make sure that through that, in this whole process, that we don't become deceived. It's easy to become deceived. Paul warns about that as well. I mean, there's so much in this passage. But he warns about verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Don't be deceived by people who say you can live like this and be a Christian, because you can't. It's a lie. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Don't let them deceive you. They're empty words. For living in darkness, when we looked at that list, living in darkness, we pour God's wrath on ourselves. Listen carefully. I say this because I love you. I think this is what God's saying to us as well. God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. For God is perfect. He's holy. He's just. And he will judge. Now, there's going to be times you're going to muck up. You're going to muck it up completely. You're going to do it. I do it. And the way that I experience sin, and I'm assuming that you're like it too, is this. You sin, and you feel bad about it, so you repent. But when you're caught in it, you go back to it, don't you? And you do it again, and you think, after a while, the feelings become a bit less. You can sort of tolerate it. And then all of a sudden, you start to justify the behavior, and you say, oh, God's grace will cover this because he's a graceful God, because I'm snookered and I can't get out. And you're praying for God's grace to cover it. Please, Lord, I know I'm doing the wrong thing, but just cover it, please, please. And you're hoping. For this is not the call of Jesus. Jesus came, I mean, Jesus was hard-nosed. He came in and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Do a U-turn. Turn your back on it. Walk away. And as I said, Paul urges us to be filled with the Spirit, because we can't do it without him. When you came to faith, if you're walking with Jesus Christ, I don't even mind if you're born into a Christian family, you can't even remember the day you came to faith. God's Spirit filled you. The day you confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, it happened like that. You're baptized, you're drenched into Jesus Christ that day. However, Paul says we need to be filled with the Spirit. And what he's saying is it's not that we need to come to faith again. It's actually a re-energizing of us. We need to be filled with the Spirit again. We need our hearts to be softened. We need to be reformed. We need to come back in line with Jesus. And it's not like just do it and grit your teeth. It's like, I'll do it. I'll fill you with my Spirit. I'll do the work, because you're in darkness and I'm light. It's a refreshing. I know when Rod comes here to preach, he says on the way down in the car, he asks God to refresh him, to fill him with his Holy Spirit again, to refresh him to preach. The battle is on. It's always on. The battle is always on. I'm not saying it's like Jesus is Luke Skywalker and like Satan's Darth Vader, and it's like a dualistic battle, all right? And we're hoping that Jesus is going to win. All right, we're hoping that he's stronger. No, on the cross and through the resurrection of Jesus, the death blow was given to Satan. All right, he's been sent from heaven, banished, and he roams the earth looking to keep people in darkness because he hates them. That's what he does. But the victory's been won. Satan hates the church and he hates us. So the battle is on. Although we have won, the battle is on. I've finished just with a little bit here. I remember as a boy, another story. I went and heard this evangelist, a guy called, and many of you know him, he's called Leighton Ford, down at Cadinia Park we were. And great ground. Anyway, we're down there, and Leighton Ford came. He's an American guy. This is, many people do this, it was the first time I'd heard it. He said whenever he's being tempted to walk in darkness, all he does is he starts singing praises to God. And he starts bringing back Bible passages. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm hidden in Christ. I'm a co-heir with Jesus. All that sort of stuff. Because you can't walk in darkness and praise God at the same time. You can't actually do it. And Paul says this as well. He says it in verse 4 and at the end of our passage. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. That's why this is one of the ways defeating it. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So next time when the battle is on, sing. Sing in your heart, sing out loud. I don't care if you have to scream it in the shower. Sing it. And this is why it's important to know your Bible. I mean, I'll smash on about this. You've got to know this. It's the sword. If you don't know it, you're in trouble. This, you've got to know it. Read it. Know it. Memorize. Have 10 scriptures that you know. No excuse. Know it. That's what protects you. It's God's word. I see in this church darkness getting pushed back all the time and light coming in. I see it all the time. Even this week, someone shared with me, I'm getting emotional saying this, but I think it's just a wonderful ministry. There's a small group, and they're connected in with Doncare here. Doncare, the organisation in this area who help out people who are just in trouble, right? Marginalised, no food, maybe whatever's going on. And they've made connections with Doncare, and they're going to put on a meal here for them, for the people who are struggling at who come through Doncare. And they can come and they can share a meal with other Christian people. This is not Hulk Hogan chest pumping, finger pointing stuff. This is just darkness getting pushed back by living and loving like Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful ministry. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Imagine as a church that we did that once a month. How good would that be? We make connections to people who are lost, broken, who are in darkness. Other ministries are great. I know there's plenty. Alpha is an amazing one. I'm going to finish. I'm going to play this DVD and then we're going to go into communion. This DVD is a guy who's come out of complete darkness into light. Because in the Alpha course, although it's not perfect, I know that, people are transformed as they come and have an encounter with Jesus Christ. I want you to watch this and take heart. You need to believe this. Darkness is pushed back. Light comes in. And we're called to follow him. He changes people. He changes people. He transforms them. He makes them new creations, new creatures of the living God. He takes you from darkness and brings you into light. I suppose we can finish with that. There's more that I was going to preach on, but I think we'll finish on that. But we need to, I suppose the big point that I want you to take away, if you can, is that we need to resist this darkness, not through our own power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And so after the service, there's always a prayer time in here. You want to be empowered and you maybe feel that you need to repent and confess, and that's okay. May the body of Christ come as you are, no different, come as you are and let him do his work in you. And come to know Jesus and let him bring you out of that darkness into his marvellous light that only he can give. So I'm going to pray for us now and we're going to take communion together, a shortened version. Lord, we do thank you for your death and resurrection, and we ask, Lord, for those of us who are feeling convicted, snookered, in trouble, that you may come as our great shepherd. Bring us into your fold and let us follow you again, fresh anew. As far as the east is from the west, Lord, you remove our sins from us. And we praise you for that. And so we commit our lives afresh to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.